May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us this morning. May that foundation of faith, trust, and the Word of God be a foundation of our life. How many of you have given instruction to people? How many of you have ever given instruction to people? Is that all? I bet some of the little ones have too. You reckon you did? Especially if you have younger siblings. So how many of you have received instruction in your life? We all did, didn't we? So I trust this message is for us this morning, for you and for me, because we have, the title is Giving and Receiving Instruction. And I thought to get it clear, what are we talking about when we talk about instruction is, and I must be a glutton for punishment because I'm going to think I'm going to start right on the board again. So forgive me if I spell wrong. So what is instruction in your mind? What phase, anything, what would describe instruction in your mind? Anyone? Direction? Advice? Teaching? Could that be in there?
More of an opinion.
Okay. How do you spell opinion?
I-N-I-O-N.
Thank you. Anything else?
Warning?
There's more. Got to be more. I know I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks, so.
Road signs?
Road signs? Be a form of. Reproof? Is that one of them? Reproof? Bible says it is. There's another one in that verse. Reprove, rebuke. Oh, I just said it. Rebuke. Is that it? That one. Mm-hmm. teach. Formal teaching, which would be a classroom. This morning, Jonas taught us this morning. Hopefully, I will be able to teach. Is there another? What about informal teaching through observance? Is that a form of instruction? I think it is. Would almost be a show and tell, is that right? Example would be? Okay, I think we'll stop with that.
Is the Bible up there, brother?
No, but we can definitely put it up here. I don't think I put that up here. We know that all instruction, right instruction, comes from the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 through 17 tells us this, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now this message was born out of our Sunday school lesson a couple weeks ago. About three Sundays ago, I think. Proverbs 12, verse 1 says this. If you remember, the adult Sunday school lesson is in Proverbs. And it says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Now, how many of you like to be rebuked? You like to be rebuked? I don't necessarily enjoy that. Sometimes it's necessary. But it says here, he that hateth reproof is brutish. There's something about being a brute that you, I mean, it's kind of a negative, really negative, about being a brute, being a brutish man. And I didn't look that up as far as the definition. But the thought that grabbed me was, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth a form of instruction is a brute. And you know, the older I get, the more in the pride and arrogancy of my heart I think I don't need to be rebuked. And that's pride. I confess that. I know that's not true. I know I have needs in my life that you, brother, need to speak into. I need your help. So I trust as we go through this message that we can gain some inspiration or at least some instruction of how to do this and how to receive it and how to give it. Probably most of this is going to be focused on the receiving end of it, because that's where I find myself so often, is on the receiving end of it. And I need these Bible truths in my life. Instruction can come in many forms and ways. We notice these are direction, advice, opinions, warning, road signs, guidance, correction, reproof, rebuke, encouragement, informal and formal teaching, example. And we get all these truths from the Bible, the Word of God. You know, as humans, we are in instruction class all our life. Young people, did you know that? Children, we are in instruction class. For those of you that are in instruction class, you will be in instruction class all your life. You'll never, ever get out of it. I am still in it, and I think Sam would be still in it. Daniel's still in it. They're older than I am. At least at this point, I can say that yet. And all your parents are in instruction class. Whether we're a child, young adult, or middle-aged or older, we are in instruction class. You know, and again, most of the time this instruction comes from the authority figures in our life, whether parents, school teachers, bosses, ministers, Bible school teachers. I've noticed that, at least in our family, in our home, the older instruct the younger, and they're kind of free about it. So it goes all the way down, and the poor child at the bottom of the totem pole, you know, he doesn't have anybody to instruct, but eventually he will instruct somebody else. But you know, it's not always that it's the authority figure in our life that teaches us. Sometimes it's our children, young children. You know, they may teach us a life lesson by a small word or deed that we will not forget. When a child is born, it's not long until they are being instructed to what is acceptable behavior and what is not. They are instructed to listen and obey the parents, pick up toys, do their chores. When they grow older, they go to school and they learn through the teaching and instruction of the teacher the facts of mathematics, the facts of languages, rules of science and history. Hopefully they have already been taught at least to get along with their siblings, but they also learn how to get along with others, relating to others in authority to their life and those that they are in constant contact with in school. You know, as time goes on, if we live that long, we join the workforce. And there's a host of other things to learn here through the instruction of others. You know, hopefully we have learned the importance of being on time, taking responsibility for our own actions, doing our job right. Someone has stated this, that if we don't have time to do our job right the first time, how will we ever find time to do it right the second time or to go back and fix it? So let's do our job right the first time. And we have people like bosses, foremen, that take time to show the new one on the workforce or on the crew how to do it. And if he already knows, then someone else has done that teaching already. It's not something that comes natural to humans to know how to do everything. We just don't. We need to be taught. We need to be instructed. You know, then we get into the spiritual side of life. And again, we need to be taught the things of God. And hopefully we have, that has started early in life. The love of Jesus, God, in the beginning God. Maybe, you know, that is such a foundational truth. Instructed in the way of salvation. What is right behavior? How to act between opposite genders? You know, what is the acceptable behavior in the sight of God? a host of other things that we need to learn in the course of life. And last but not least, it doesn't matter how old we are or what position we have in life, we need instruction because we are mostly blind to the needs of our own life. We're never too old or wise to learn from others. The instructions we receive as adults is usually in a different form than what we received as a school child. We may not be learning as much many new things, but we do need to be reminded day by day the need to be consistent in our life, the need to be kind, the need to be tolerant of others. Maybe others don't see things exactly like we do. That's not saying that we have to write them off. We need to be loving, forgiving, gracious. We need to be reminded that we can't serve God and mammon. These two are polar opposites. We need to be fair. We need to remember or be reminded of the golden rule. How many of you know what the golden rule? Children, school children, you know what the golden rule is? What's the golden rule? Well, that's not exactly the golden rule that I was thinking about. That is a good rule. Kyle? That's right. Treating others the way you want to be treated. Matthew 7, verse 13 is Matthew's version of the golden rule. And that says, it's verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and prophets. In other words, treating others as you want to be treated. You know, as I go through life, I realize sometimes that giving instruction is maybe relatively easy, but receiving it is hard at times. And that is human nature. We think we know best, or at the very least, we know just as much as what the one that is trying to instruct us. Maybe we think that they're just overreacting, especially if it's our child telling us that we said or did something that was inconsistent. Maybe y'all don't struggle with these thoughts, and I praise God if you don't, but I know I do sometimes. You know, the other times we may have the idea that it would be much easier to accept it if instruction would come from God himself. Have you ever had that thought? That, you know, if it wouldn't have to come through a human element, it would be much easier to accept. We know that God works through mankind. God uses man to teach others. I don't want to minimize the work of the Holy Spirit at all, but seldom, I think, do we learn without input from our fellow man. We need our fellow man's input in our life. I'd like to give you a couple examples of people that needed instruction, and these were people that were adults. On August 6th, 1945, who knows what happened that day? August 6th, 1945. Anyone? You? No. Huh? No. It was the beginning of the end. That's That's right, yeah. And then 3 days later, there was another one dropped on, if I can say this word right, Nagasaki, I think. Anyhow, August 6, 1945, a B-29 bomber named Enola Gay dropped the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima. 3 days later, another atomic bomb was dropped. The second atomic bomb was twice as big, almost twice as big as the first one. It's hard to imagine. These two bombs killed an estimated 200,000 to 300,000 people. Now, these crews were the best of the best in their field and were on top of their game. Some years ago, I read an autobiography of this Enola Gay's mission. And in their training, they spent some time going up and being at the right altitude, and they were dropping dummy bombs onto a target. And they were very sporadic in their accuracy. And they couldn't figure out why. They just, one day they hit it on target, next day they were far off. And as I remember the story, they had a man that was on the plane, that his job was to tell the people, or tell the crew, when to get ready to drop the bomb. Where they were in relation to their, I don't know, was it the navigator? I don't remember who it was. I don't remember. But this man was sitting on a seat, and as he got closer, he was looking into, again, I don't know, was it a window or what it was? He was looking at the target. And he, days that he would stay sitting on his seat, that's the days he could hit the target. But then there was days that he couldn't really see, so he just got up just a little bit, moved his head just a little bit, and he was far off. And they couldn't figure out why. They didn't know that this was happening. Now remember, these were the best of the best. So they decided that they're going to send another man up with the crew to figure out who or what is happening. They finally... The man watched this man, the observer watched the man on the seat, and as long as he stayed sitting, it hit the target. The next time he got up just a little bit to see better, and they missed. And he said, right there's your problem. Now that man could have said, who are you? Who are you that you are telling me, the best of the best in my field, that I am not doing my job right? You know, the man was humble enough to accept that advice, to accept that instruction. And the observer told him, whoever that was, you stay sitting and you will be more accurate. And they found that to be true. Now, who would have known that you move 2 inches and be off, way off target? They humbled themselves, and as we know the results. It's not that I'm advocating their or supporting their actions, not at all. But I'm telling you what, you know, their result of the instruction in their life that they accepted, and it fixed their problem. Now, King David was another one, going back to a little bit more biblical examples. King David was a man that needed rebuke and correction after he had his affair with Bathsheba. Nathan the prophet came to him with a rebuke from God the Father, And he told them that story about the, we know that story. The man, the poor man that had one sheep, and the other man that had a lot of sheep, and the rich man went and took the poor man's one sheep. And David got all out of fix and out of sorts, and he couldn't figure out why this rich man did this. And then Nathan said, "You are the man." Now, David wasn't a child at that time. He was an adult. He was king of Israel. But you know, he accepted that rebuke. He had problems in his life, but I think he also experienced God's blessing by receiving that instruction. Moses needed the advice of his father-in-law to give him that the advice his father-in-law gave him when he told Moses that he needs help judging the people, hearing the problems. Moses could have argued with his father-in-law that, look, God asked me to lead these people, and who are you to say that I can't do my job? But that's not how Moses responded. He accepted the instruction and realized it was good advice, and he humbly took the advice given. So let's go back to Proverbs. We'll look at instruction. Proverbs has a lot of things to say about instruction. I'm going to kind of read fast through these. The Bible speaks much about the importance of instruction, whether giving or receiving it. Number one, the instruction is the way of life. There is life in instruction. Proverbs 4, verse 13, says, fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So is instruction good for me? Absolutely. It's my life. It's my spiritual life. It tells me how to live. Proverbs 5:23, he shall die without instruction. Is instruction important? Absolutely it is. If we don't have instruction, we will die. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Proverbs 10, verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. You know, most of the concepts learned in life are taught by someone. Some of the fleshing out of the concepts that we learn by experience or by trial and error, but the concept is taught by someone else. We still need others to instruct us in areas of personal blind spots. Okay, going on. Rejecting instruction is the way of death. Proverbs 5:21-23. Proverbs 5:21-23, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. So we can choose to go our way, own way, but we will die spiritually. Again, I think it's talking spiritually. Number three, not accepting instruction brings a life of regret. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I think this man was just reflecting over his life, and he knew that he made some bad mistakes, and he hated instruction when he was young. He hated instruction any time in his life, and it took him to a point where he had a life full of regrets. Proverbs 19, verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You know, I've never heard anyone say with regret, I wish I wouldn't have listened or obeyed my parents as much as I did. I've never heard that. Or I've never heard anybody say, I wish I'd have lived just a little bit more wickedly in my life. Or I would have lived just a little bit more selfishly or rebelliously. It's always spoken of in regret in those lines. I have heard people say with regret that they wish they would have listened more, obeyed better, been instructed more in the ways of righteousness, been exposed to Bible truths earlier in life. There was a life of regret in not knowing or doing the will of God. You know, not all instruction or teaching is good or godly. Proverbs 19:20 says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. In other words, don't listen to the instructions that would cause you to err. Matthew 14, verse 7 through 10, this was Herod, King Herod, when he gave that ball or that dance, that party, whatever you want to call it, and his remember, was it his daughter? It was his brother Philip's wife. And I don't know, was this Herod's daughter or was it Philip's daughter? But Herod, I think, adopted her. And the girl, he promised this girl and with an oath that he would give to her whatever she would ask. And she, being instructed by her mother, asked for the head of John the Baptist. So not always is the instruction that we get good. We need to prove it with the Word of God. Number 5, instruction makes wise people. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not, Proverbs 8:33. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Number 6, despising instruction. If we just can't stand reproof, correction, instruction in our life, it makes us foolish. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 12:1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. He that hateth reproof is brutish. 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. So it makes us fools, it makes us brutish, it makes us a scorner. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So we'll become poor and shameful. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Proverbs 15:32, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So what are some ways that we today can think of that we may despise reproof or correction or instruction? And as I was sitting here this morning, I was just thinking about this. So I wrote some things down. I didn't think about this at home. You know, if somebody approaches us and we bristle, you know what bristling means? It's just you get your hair just starts standing up, and you start just to get all defensive, bristling up at the reproof. Let's be careful. I think we're getting really close to despising instruction if we bristle, if we become defensive. Now, I'm not saying that we can't say or give maybe an explanation, but we cannot, dare not become defensive. If we become defensive, I think we're getting very close to despising the instructions, getting upset, tearing down the person that is instructing us, just tearing down his person. These are all signs of rejecting the instruction given. You know, we can't really accept instruction if we are defensive and bristling and tearing down the instructor. We can't. We're not in a frame of mind to receive what he has for us. Number 7, instruct with meekness, gentleness. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." That's our memory verse for next Sunday. "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." Okay, this 25 and 26 will be the memory verse for next week. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So let's remember, if we are doing the instructing, that there needs to be a meekness, there needs to be a humbleness, a gentleness in our approach. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I think this is where the golden rule comes in. It's also taught somewhat in this sentence, in this verse, to consider myself. But for the grace of God, I am out on the streets, realizing that I have the potential within myself to be the worst sinner here. You know, when we have the idea that we have the answers to other people's problems, and we go with that attitude, very likely our instruction will not be accepted very well. Because without humility, we unconsciously or consciously elevate ourselves above the one we're trying to help. And that will come through in our attitude. It helps us as we consider our own station in life and realize that we have made some bad choices and decisions in the past as well. We have nothing to glory or boast about in our own life except the saving work of Jesus Christ. That's the only glory that we have. So in closing, it's not only the unwise, the unfaithful, the wicked that need instruction, but people of God need it as well. People of God need instruction, because we're still living in the flesh and have a fight before us, the fight of eternal life. And we have to fight for every inch of ground to be gained in this spiritual victory or warfare. So let's remember that as we endeavor to receive instruction, that we do it without defensiveness, that we accept what the brother is or sister is saying. And you know, if we feel that it may be unjust, if we feel that it may be a little harsh, let's remember there's, at least I'm sure there's going to be some truth to it. And it helps us to understand that maybe the brother doesn't see everything, but he sees a truth that I need. And may I accept it in humility. And if I go, let's go with the humility, a mind of humility, considering ourselves, lest we also fall into that same temptation. Let's stand for prayer.